Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Chuck Shaden with Recollections at 50. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we tune in to a few nostalgic moments from a half century of Those Were the Days programs. I've always had our broadcasts fairly well planned in advance, especially when preparing a Those Were the Days anniversary program. But I was really unprepared for what happened during our live 30th anniversary show on April 29th, 2000, at the radio studio in the Chicago Cultural Center. I had directed the Those Were the Days radio players in a reenactment of a Lux radio theater program when Ken Alexander, not following the planned routine of our event, came to my microphone in front of our large studio audience and, out of the blue, told me to take a chair. "What's happening?" I said. "Just relax for a minute," Ken said. And then, much to my surprise, he called my daughters, Sue and Patty, to the stage.
I'm Sue, and this is my sister, Patty. Wow, 30 years. That's a long time. Yeah. That's pretty much our whole lives. And so I think that's why this anniversary celebration and everything has been real exciting for us, too. And we've been talking about it a lot, and in the past few months, we were having a conversation, and we thought, you know, we've really grown up with old-time radio, too. I mean, how many people our age can say that they know Fibber McGee and Molly, the Great Gildersleeve, The Shadow, Father Barber and Pinky? Okay, we know what's going on. But we also feel like we have a real sense of what it was like to live back in the 1930s and the 1940s. And, Dad, you've really enriched our lives by sharing your love of the golden age of radio with us. So as we were talking, we thought, well, I suppose there's some listeners out there who feel the same way, too, but how would we know? I mean, we assume you're all out there every Saturday, listening, appreciating what Chuck has to offer, but we don't have any way of knowing. So we decided that we needed some proof. Proof that you, Dad, and your show have enriched the lives of your listeners also.
So as the listeners know, when you and Mom were in Arizona, so when I came down here to the studio, and we came on the radio, and we asked your listeners to send in some cards or letters telling us what old-time radio and you have meant to them over the past years. So we set up a post office box in Glenview instead of Morton Grove, so we wouldn't get the two confused with the Morton Grove and Glenview. So Sue's been checking it, and so she's going to tell me now. She hasn't told me yet what the response was that we got from the post office box.
Well, I have with me, I have three letters here for you. And they're wonderful letters. It's just beautiful.
So three letters are hardly proof that he's had an impact on these people's lives.
Well, I have more proof, but I hesitate to produce them at this time.
Why don't you just put it here on Dad's lap?
Well, but I don't think
Sue,
you understand.
Sue, put it here on Dad's lap. Put it here on his lap.
All right, Jim, Steve, bring up the grandkids. Katie?
All right,
come
Corianne,
on.
Come on up.
What have you got? Jenny, come on, can you bring yours?
Tracy, come on, follow your sisters.
Okay, Natalie, bring up your bag for Grandpa. There you go, put them all over him.
Yep.
Letters, envelopes.
Natalie, get your bag there.
Come on, let's get them. Right on top of him. Oh my gosh, I can't hardly see you anymore. Thank you, girls. Dad, what the girls have just showered upon you are the envelopes from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cards and letters addressed simply 30th anniversary surprise from your listeners.
And what Jim is holding over here are the scrapbooks that contain all the cards and letters. And when Sue and I were opening all the envelopes that were sent to our post office box, we were overwhelmed by what we read about what you and Those Were the Days have meant to all your listeners.
Happy anniversary. We love you.
Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I'm not always or very often speechless, but this is a scene from Miracle on 34th Street. And I can't thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. It is wonderful to do this. And you guys, you counted on the fact that I wasn't going to audit Ken Alexander after I came back from our trip. But this is marvelous. And I thank you for the warmth and the love and the affection that you've shown me, not only today, but through all these 30 years. And you guys, too. Thanks so much. Thank you.
What a surprise that was, and what an honor. It was a once-in-a-lifetime happening, or so I thought, until 5 years later, on our 35th anniversary broadcast on April 30th, 2005, from the LaSalle Bank Auditorium in Chicago, that was the former home of our original Memory Club movies, unbeknownst to me, my daughters again conspired with Ken to take over a few minutes of broadcast time.
Well, Dad, 5 years ago, on the 30th anniversary of Those Were the Days, your listeners sent in hundreds of letters expressing what your radio program and you have meant to them over the years. Well, there's one more letter to add to your collection, and Sue's going to read that to you today.
Dear Dad, when Those Were the Days began in 1970, Patty was 2 years old and I was about to turn 6. We couldn't have known the excitement, nervousness, anticipation, and work that went into those early shows. We probably didn't even know what day Saturday was, and we certainly couldn't for the life of us figure out how you were able to fit in that little radio on the kitchen counter. But eventually we got the mechanics of it all straightened out and have fond memories of visiting the various studio locations over the years, and even joining you on the air every once in a while. In honor of our birthdays, you willingly subjected your listeners to songs ranging from Sesame Street's Rubber Ducky to 1970s Heartthrobs. And there are teachers out there who remember us not because of our outstanding academic abilities, but because Chuck Shaden's daughters were in their class. And it's always fun to have a store clerk recognize the Shaden name on a credit card and remark, "Now, you're not related to the Chuck Shaden, are you?" Now, growing up, people often asked us if we'd listen to your show. As captives in our home on Saturday afternoons, clearly we had little choice, but we went about our business and we listened. We listened to the radio programs of your childhood, and they became a piece of our childhood. To this day, tuning into the broadcast takes us back to our home, to playing, doing chores and homework, and to, of course, dutifully carrying out the prescribed wrap, bake, and decorate plan every December. We listened. We listened while we traveled. Those long vacation car rides, including visits to Uncle Ken and the Ohio Shadens, were eased with Father Barbara and Pinky on board to help speed the miles along. We listened. And we copied, we imitated. As no doubt the first kids on our block to own and operate their very own tape recorders, we created Patty and Susie Shaden shows. We did. Those priceless recordings contain some of our most hilarious and most embarrassing moments. We listened and we cashed in. You suggested we might earn a few dollars answering the phones during the broadcast, helping with the digest mailings, serving customers in the MGM shop. In fact, my good friend Julie and I served popcorn to Memory Club folks right here in this auditorium. Over the years, we've met so many of your loyal fans. How proud we always were, always are, to be introduced as your daughters. We listened. We listened and we learned. We learned about the 1930s and 1940s. Through your eyes, we learned about local, national, and international history. We learned about our family. Imagine a history lesson lasting for 35 years and counting, and we didn't even have to take notes. We listened. We listened on the air, but we also listened off the air, because the way you lead your life has taught us our most important lessons. You have showed us that happiness comes from following your heart, from pursuing hobbies, making dreams become reality. You've taught us to have a positive attitude, work hard, set high standards, accept challenges, learn from mistakes, and then move on. Your most frequent and inspiring advice and the greatest example you have set for us has been, quote, when a door closes, a window opens. You've even shown us that sometimes you just need to open a window to get a breath of fresh air. We listened, and you taught us about marriage. You showed us the importance of marrying someone who gives you love, strength, and unwavering support. You've never hidden the fact that you couldn't have done any of this without Mom by your side, your true soulmate. We listened, and you listened too. You've always supported, encouraged, and trusted us. You hope that we will consider your advice, but never expect that we will. You've always assumed that, of course, we could do anything we put our minds to, and no matter what happens, you always give the best hugs. So, people asked us, did we listen? Yeah, we sure did. We listened. And 5 years ago, we discovered that your friends not only listen, but call you friend. Well, lucky us, we get to call you Dad. We love you.
Well, they did it again, and again it was a wonderful and unexpected surprise. Now, I would never have thought that there was going to be yet one more encore performance by my girls, but there it was, and again, it was totally unexpected. It was 4 years later, on June 27, 2009, during my retirement broadcast as host and producer of Those Were the Days. We were doing a live program before a very large audience from the stage of the Morton Grove Civic Center. Suddenly, Sue and Patty again commandeered the stage and the microphone to come up with a third and final surprise.
Hello out there in Radioland. I have always wanted to say that. I'm Sue, and I'm here with my sister Patty. We're back with our final unannounced interruption of our dad's radio program. 9 years ago, for the 30th anniversary of Those Were the Days, Patty and I, along with our families, showed up at the Museum of Broadcast Communications with bags and bags of letters of appreciation from our dad's fans. Over 600 letters were showered on him, a la the courtroom scene from Miracle on 34th Street. 4 years ago, the 35th anniversary of Those Were the Days was held at the LaSalle Bank Theater, still known more affectionately to us as Northwest Federal Savings. During that broadcast, we took over the stage to read a letter that we wrote expressing how our dad and his career have influenced our lives. Now, here we are in our hometown of Morton Grove, right back where it all started. I wish I could show you a photograph of what some of the rooms in our house looked like before our dad found permanent storage for the hundreds and hundreds of reel-to-reel tapes that he was busy collecting. Our poor mother! Most With It women of the 1970s had simple yet elegant dining room sets with a place to display china, vases, serving bowls, that kind of thing. Not our mom. She displayed Scotch brand reel-to-reel audio tapes in delightful shades of cream, white, and green. But thinking about those days reminded us of bits of what you might call insider information about our dad. So today, in honor of his retirement, we're going to share with you a few things you probably didn't know about your favorite old-time radio guru, Chuck Shaden. 39 things, to be exact.
Oh, jeez.
Did you know that Charles Leroy Shaden was called by his middle name for the first 5 years of his life? When his family moved from Chicago to Norwich, he seized the opportunity to strike a new identity. In that new neighborhood, Chuck sold greeting cards door to door and took piano lessons. At age 13, he had his front tooth broken by his brother's ill-timed bow and arrow launch. In high school, he was the features editor of the Steinmetz Star newspaper and was voted class humorist. He was a member of the Green Curtain Players Theater Group, once held a job as a soda jerk, and enjoyed wearing a very snazzy red plaid sport coat.
Now, despite this fashion challenge, our mother Ellen accepted his marriage proposal after a mere 6 weeks of dating. They were married 5 months to the day after their first date. And ever the romantic, every year on April 8th, our dad takes our mom out to celebrate the anniversary of their first date. And this September, they will celebrate 53 years of marriage.
if she lets me.
Did you know that as a young adult, Chuck organized and participated in entertainment for the veterans at Hines VA Hospital? While in the service, he was the editor of the Fifth Army newspaper. You'd think a guy who, throughout his life, has been the editor of various publications would type using proper fingerings, wouldn't you? No, Chuck is fluid in Hunt and Peck. This is a good thing because sometimes he even can't read his own handwriting.
For years, our dad played Santa for the Fritz family Christmas parties. Note that I said Christmas. He never says or spells Xmas. Speaking of holidays, when we were kids, we would wake up to rearranged furniture and upside-down paintings in honor of April Fool's Day.
Many of you may know that Chuck likes to eat ice cream, but did you know that once, while on vacation, he ate 13 scoops in one sitting? He also loves the layer of skin on the top of cooked pudding. He enjoys a good hamburger, but won't eat steak. Remember when Pop came in 16-ounce glass bottles? Well, our dad once dropped a bottle of 7-Up on his toe and broke it. Not the bottle, his toe. This toe has forever been referred to as his 7-Up toe.
Our dad is an early bird. He gets up at 5 a.m. every morning. But I suppose a fellow who subscribes to both the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times needs to get up early. On Saturdays, he leaves for the broadcast at 10 a.m. And did you know that he has taken a sack lunch to work with him every Saturday for 39 years?
You may have heard him joke that he hasn't had to mow the lawn in 39 years. Well, just to make sure that our mother doesn't try to trick him into yard work on some other day, he simply doesn't own a lawnmower, and he hid the ladder years ago.
Now, this may not be a surprise to some of you, but Chuck has never been camping. He likes cruises, but doesn't like boating. He has, however, flown over the Statue of Liberty in a helicopter. He takes a 45-minute walk 5 times a week, unless, of course, the weather's about to change and his 7-Up toe is acting up.
We bet you didn't know our dad is also a big television fan. He has watched every episode of MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Cheers, and Frasier, several times each. He and our mom are also devoted Jeopardy fans. Never call them weekdays between 3:30 and 4. He enjoys watching new and old movies. In fact, he enjoys the old musicals so much that he and our mom once wallpapered the guest bathroom using sheet music.
And last but not least, for Inside Scoop number 39, when he was a child, Chuck Shaden dreamed of being a radio announcer, but he didn't think he had the voice for it.
Congratulations on your retirement, Dad. We love you.
And Chuck and his daughters are embracing now on the floor in front of the stage. A little kiss on the cheek to each other for Chuck. Oh, that's wonderful.
Each of those surprises from my daughters, Sue and Patty, were totally unexpected. And each brought tears of joy to my eyes, and it's happening again right now as I recall those wonderful moments from not so long ago. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Recollections at 50. There's more to come in the weeks to come. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening.